Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify thy holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have built your church upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Grant us so to be joined together in unity of spirit by their teaching, that we may be made a holy temple acceptable to you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from Paul to the Romans. Do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instrument of wickedness, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you are entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater impurity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you now are ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God. The advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord. We'll read together the psalm appointed for the day, Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I have perplexity in my mind and grief in my heart day after day? How long shall my enemy triumph over me? Look upon me and answer me, O Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes, lest I sleep in death, lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him, and my foes rejoice that I have fallen. But I put my trust in your mercy, and my heart is joyful because of your saving help. I will sing to the Lord, for he has dealt with me richly. I will praise the name of the Lord Most High.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." The Gospel of the Lord.
It is my joy this morning to welcome our new curate, Carl Saxton, to preach his first sermon with us. Carl graduated from seminary in May, and he is what is called a transitional deacon. He is on his way to becoming a priest, so it is a great honor to have your first sermon with us this morning, Carl.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Imagine with me, if you will, a world in which Jesus is here with us in the same way he was with the disciples in Galilee. In this world, you and I could walk down the street to ask him what to do when we're hurt or confused. "Jesus, I'm having trouble with my kids." Or, "Jesus, I have this problem at work or school." And Jesus could walk up to someone on the street, just like he did in the New Testament, and say, "Come, follow me." What a world that would be. But we don't have Jesus with us in the same way that the disciples had him with them. There's this man, a farmer. 4 weeks ago, we celebrated the Feast of the Ascension, when the church remembers the day when, 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus bodily left this earth. In the presence of 11 of the disciples, the Gospels of Mark and Luke tell us that, after blessing them, he was carried up into heaven. The Acts of the Apostles say it perhaps more poetically, that he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. We live in a post-ascension world. We were not privileged to see him face to face, but the fact that we live in a post-ascension world is an essential fact of our Christian faith. That we live in a post-ascension world has an enormous impact on how we, as baptized followers of Jesus Christ, interact with the world around us. On a Middle Eastern farm, a man, the farmer whose family has farmed this land for four generations, is stooping to pick up apples in the ruin of his orchard. He picks up the scattered fruit from the ground that's been scarred and broken by a bulldozer. One of the farmer's neighbors tells him that he saw the bulldozer driven by a government man. He had planted the orchard nearly 8 years before with apple and almond trees. Some of the apples could be salvaged, but the almonds never had a chance. At the very edge of the field, the crushed and mangled branches of a tree reach out from a mound of dirt and rocks, the unripe almonds still clinging to their stems. Now, this man and his family are the proud descendants of an ancient Christian family. Since the fall of the Ottoman Empire, his ancestors have farmed this land. Most of the Christians in this part of the world had left for places they thought would be more tolerant of them. This family, however, had decided to stay. Convinced that the small remaining population of Christians had a role to play in their people's future, they remained on their farm. Now, though, the government claims that they are living illegally and farming illegally on government property. The family thinks that things like the destruction of their orchard are the government's way of convincing them that it would just be easier if they gave up and left. Despite living regularly with such tactics and witnessing the destruction of years of back-breaking work and the family's pride, the farmer's sister responded to this latest push by saying, "Nobody can force us to hate. We refuse to be enemies." This family, facing hardships and struggles that many of us can only imagine, know what it means to live in a post-ascension world. They refuse to hate because they believe that when Jesus said, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you," he was calling on his disciples to show the world who he is, and through that knowledge, what kind of God we worship. He said, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me." Now, these words of Christ from the Gospel of Matthew come at the end of what scholars call the missionary discourse. This is a series of passages in the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus is telling his disciples to go out and spread the good news. And as he tells them to go out and declare the kingdom of heaven has come near, he tells them they're not to take anything with them on the road. no gold, no silver, no copper, no bag, no extra tunic, extra sandals, or even a staff. This is the speech where Jesus tells them, as we heard last week, that he has not come to bring peace, but a sword. And most encouraging of all, Jesus says, "See, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves." This isn't exactly the most impressive missionary pep talks I've ever heard. It doesn't exactly instill a lot of confidence. And I often wonder what was going through the disciples' minds as Jesus was telling them this. But this missionary discourse both begins and ends with the most vital piece of information of all. All of these dangers can easily be met because of one important detail. We disciples are like the Master. Whoever welcomes us welcomes Jesus. We are Jesus. In these three verses, we overhear the Lord instructing the 12 disciples, and through them us, in an important doctrinal belief about the church. We are, as St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, the body of Christ. And each and every one of us are individually members of it. The church, as the mystical body of Christ, is an important belief about the church because we live in a post-ascension world. Christ himself is no longer present in the world in the same way he was with the 12. You, each and every one of you who have been baptized into Christ's body, the church, are the way that Christ walks through this world now. As you go about your daily lives, shopping at the grocery store, filling your car with gas, paying bills, interacting with your neighbors, co-workers, or fellow students, or perhaps most important of all on this Sunday, which we Episcopalians are celebrating as Social Media Sunday, when you send your virtual self out into the ether world of social media, and every other interaction we have with our fellow human beings, you are Christ to them. You may be their first and only encounter with Jesus Christ. By simply offering a smile and a pleasant hello, or by offering to help someone with grocery bags or a flat tire, you're communicating the ever-present love of God in Jesus Christ. You're empowered for this being Christ when you receive the Eucharist. Because we believe that Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist, when you receive the consecrated bread and wine, you take Jesus into yourself. You take Jesus into your body. We take Jesus into ourselves so that we can carry him out into the world. In that moment of reception, you are strengthened in your communion with God the Father through Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and with our brothers and sisters in Christ, both living and dead, in the communion of saints. Now, one of my favorite saints, though he's not one that's recognized in our calendar, was a Polish Roman Catholic priest and a Franciscan, Father Maximilian Kolbe. Father Kolbe was arrested by the Gestapo in February 1941 for hiding 2,000 Jewish men, women, and children inside his friary. After being held in a Polish men's prison for 3 months, he was then transferred to Auschwitz concentration camp and became prisoner 16670. Housed in Block 14 with other Polish nationals, Father Kolbe became a spiritual father to the other men with whom he was imprisoned. In late July 1941, three prisoners from Block 14 disappeared. It was assumed that they had found some way to escape the horrors of this concentration camp. And all the men of Block 14 were ordered into the yard where they stood at attention, perhaps for hours, waiting And then in a cruel exercise of his power over the prisoners, the camp commander chose 10 men from Block 14 to be punished in order to deter any further escape attempts. They were to be starved to death in an underground bunker. One of the men, when chosen, cried out, "My wife, my children!" And Father Kolbe stepped forward and volunteered to take the man's place. He argued that a priest would make a better example than this poor man. So after 2 weeks of dehydration and starvation, only Father Kolbe remained of the 10 who were sentenced to that prolonged death. And finally, the guards wanted to clear out the bunker, so they decided to give Father Kolbe a lethal injection of carbolic acid. Eyewitnesses say that when the soldiers approach, Kolbe raised his left arm and waited calmly for the injection. Here was a man who truly knew what it meant to be a member of the body of Christ, who knew what it means to be Jesus in the world. God willing, none of us will be called upon to give up our lives in a martyr's death. The same mind, however, should be in us that was in Maximilian Kolbe. Our interaction with the world around us should be so infused with the spirit that we received at baptism that it colors the way we see our fellow human beings. Just as it does for that Middle Eastern farming family, and just as it did for Maximilian Kolbe. Those farmers don't live their lives in peace and understanding, refusing to be anyone's enemy because they believe it will attract praise and give them glory. No, they do it because they believe that Christ, being Christ to the world, means loving your neighbor as yourself. Father Kolbe didn't offer himself in that other man's place in the hopes that he would be recognized for his holiness and self-sacrifice. He reacted as he believed Christ would have when faced with the unbearable pain of another. And you, what is it that draws you to this place? Most, if not all of you, drive past several suburban parishes to come to St. John's, when you could easily stay close to home and avoid having to see the pain and suffering in the streets around this cathedral. You still come. Why is this place the place to which the Holy Spirit has called you? Men and women like these poor, long-suffering farmers, like Father Maximilian Kolbe, and like so many others whose stories aren't recorded like theirs, know that at the core of who we are as the body of Christ is love. I wish Jesus were here. I know you wish Jesus were here and easy to access. So, as you go out into the world today, remember, someone out there is desperately searching for Christ, even if they don't know it, may have only you. Only you to make him known.
Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, true light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, you created the heavens and the earth. Thank you for the gift of our lives, for our loved ones, for this community, and for this beautiful earth that we call home. I invite you to speak aloud your thanksgivings.
Family, this community, Ashley's pastor.
Bless and comfort those who are sick, lonely, or grieving. Help all those who are in need. I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who need our prayers.
Jesse, Elizabeth, Bill, Jackie, James.
Embrace the souls of those who have died, especially Patrick John Butterbrot and Nancy Brenner. I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who have died.
John, Ed.
We pray for the church throughout the world and for the ministries of this cathedral. Help us to grow in our love for you and for others in the urban core. Help the nations of the earth to treat one another with kindness and justice. We pray especially for Ukraine, Nigeria, and all the countries of the Middle East, especially Iraq. We ask you, Almighty God, to forgive all the mistakes that we have made, the things that we have done, and the things we have neglected to do. Help us to become the people that you call us to be.
Father in heaven, you have no other hands in this world but our hands, no feet but our feet. Help us to be Christ to the world. This we pray in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. We need your healing, merciful God. Give us true repentance. Some sins are plain to us, some escape us, some we cannot face. Forgive us, set us free to hear your word to us, set us free to serve you. God forgives you. Forgive others. Forgive yourself. Through Christ, God has put away your sin. Approach your God in peace. All this we ask in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Well, that was pretty darn good, wasn't it? Such a joy to have you, Carl. Thank you. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the cathedral this morning. We're so glad you're here with us today. It is a joy to have you here. Join us for breakfast every Sunday at 9 o'clock. We had a wonderful breakfast this morning, cooked by some of our newer members. It was just so great. Thank you to those who helped with breakfast today. And remember that we have a lot of classes both on Sundays and on Wednesdays. See your bulletin for details. Across the Episcopal Church, across the nation on this Sunday, the Episcopal Church is calling it Social Media Sunday. Now, let me explain to you my belief about the approach to social media. I am a firm believer in what I call the 11th commandment, which is, thou shalt turn off thy cell phone in church. Because I want you to have a moment with God and with God alone. Carl was telling me about a restaurant he went to recently that had a sign up that said, there is no Wi-Fi here, please talk to one another. So, I want you to talk to God. But I do encourage you, following church, if there's a thought about the sermon or a picture that's beautiful or something, do go on your devices and share with the world what you have experienced here. Because cyberspace is the new mission field. So hashtag Episcopal on this Sunday if you go on Twitter, and you'll see that churches all over the nation are sharing about their worship. So I hope you'll do the same. But again, after we're done talking to God, okay? Children's Chapel is always during this service, during the summertime. Bring your kids to church. We love having them worship and dance and do all the fun things they do. We also have something called Camp Cathedral on Sunday mornings for kids. They're learning skits from the Bible at 9:30 in Cummings Chapel. Next Sunday, we celebrate the independence of this country. And because this is a military town, we take a special pride in that celebration. And next Sunday, we will be celebrating as they did in 1776. So when you come to church, the vestments will look a little different. The words will sound very old. But it's a way of remembering and giving thanks for this country. So join us next Sunday. Also next Sunday, when you're in Tolliver Hall, you're going to see a booth and someone will be selling vegetables. Clara White Mission, which runs an incredible restaurant that trains homeless and ex-cons to be chefs, they run a restaurant every Friday out of the cathedral called Clara's at the Cathedral. Most of you have heard it, right? 11 to 1, great food. They have also created an enormous garden where they've given people jobs growing vegetables. These are organic, great vegetables. So I know all of you are going to go to Walmart or Winn-Dixie and you're going to buy vegetables. Buy them here next Sunday instead, okay? You'll be helping people learn how to garden, helping people get jobs, and they're very healthy and good for you. So you'll see those available. And last but not least, Ashley, where are you? Can you come forward? Ashley Petty is going to seminary from the Diocese of Kansas, but she's going to be a college chaplain for a year before going to seminary. Ashley has been our intern for 6 months. She was a gift from God, coming to us during a time when our youth minister had a baby, and Carl was not with us yet. I got the privilege of baptizing her when she was 11 years old, and it's such an honor that she wants to become a priest. It has been such a joy to have you with us. We're going to miss you. You've done an amazing job. Thank you so much. Walk in love as Christ loved us, and he gave his life for us. And you too are called, following his example, to give.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise. At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another. Again and again, you called us to return. Through prophets and sages, you revealed your righteous law, and in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace. And therefore we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. And so, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine and gave thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Lord God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Risen Lord, be known to us in the breaking of the bread. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great high priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit, your church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. And now please join me as we send forth our lay Eucharistic minister who will bring communion to those who cannot come to church. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us together give thanks for this Holy Communion that we have received in the post-communion prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Remember that Christ has no other hands in the world but your hands, no eyes but your eyes, no feet but your feet. You are his body. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.